Gundula Destroyer, news editor of Farmers Weekly, and I will be discussing the main feature in the latest issue of the magazine, which is the 8 October issue, as well as some of the top stories that made the news this week. On the cover this week is a story that delves into the complexities of green bonds. We also offer a guideline on what you can expect at livestock auctions and how to prepare for an auction. Also on the cover this week is a story on a successful apple farm and why this particular farmer focuses on packout rates above yield per hectare. The main feature this week focuses on the uncertain future of agri-shows in a post-COVID-19 world. Farmers Weekly spoke to several role players in the industry about the value that agri-shows still hold, if any, for farmers. This week, I want to look at the livestock story that offer guidelines for preparing for auctions. While livestock auctions offer a relatively safe way for farmers to trade their animals with a fairly low barrier to entry, there are various factors that producers have to consider when participating in these events and administrative processes that need to be adhered to. Auctions are important for two primary reasons. One, it allows farmers to see what price the market is willing to pay for an animal at any given time. And two, it allows producers to market the top genetics in their herds or flocks. There are two types of auctions, namely public and private. Public auctions usually take place on a weekly basis, while private auctions may only happen once or twice a year, with one particular seller and perhaps a few guest sellers offering their animals for sale. Sellers can arrive at public auctions without prior notice, but then they miss out on the advice offered by the agents at the auctions, which means they might not always get the best prices. Animals are classified by age, fatness, conformation, damage, and sex. A-grade and B-grade animals that are healthy, castrated, and have little fat fetch significantly higher prices than A-B grade. C-grade animals fetch the lowest prices. Most farmers sell their cattle for finishing after weaning at 6 to 7 months of age. Weaners with a weight of 180 kilogram to 230 kilograms currently trade at about 40 rand a kilogram, whereas those weighing 230 kilograms to 280 kilograms trade for roughly 2 rand 50 per kilogram less. And those that weigh more than 280 kilograms trade for 3 rand a kilogram less than those in the 230 to 280 kilogram category. The price fetched for all old cows is significantly lower. By law, animals have to be marked for traceability and identification purposes and cannot be sold at an auction without these marks. This helps to prevent trade in stolen animals and to trace animals should there be a disease outbreak. If you're a first-time buyer, it is recommended that you look at what other buyers are doing to get a feel for the bidding process. Also, familiarize yourself with the animals you want to buy by viewing them before the auction. If you want to buy a stud animal, make sure you have its performance data and health records. Also remember that if you're buying in animals, quarantine them on your farm for up to 4 weeks before introducing them to your existing flock or herd. This is to ensure that the animal is healthy and to prevent the spread of disease. Now, turning to the news, one of the top stories of the week was the ongoing battle with avian influenza in the country. More than 2.7 million chickens have been culled in South Africa so far due to the highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI, outbreak, which is affecting commercial layer and to a lesser extent broiler breeder and commercial broiler flocks. Isaac Breitenbach, head of the broiler organization at the South African Poultry Association, said HPIA broke out in mid-April and rapidly peaked in June. 4 weeks then followed without any outbreaks, thanks to sound management by both industry and government. Infections flared up again, however, due to biosecurity breaches following the civil unrest in KwaZulu-Natal during July, with devastating financial consequences for the industry. It is difficult to quantify losses, but the industry took 3 years to recover after the 2017 outbreak, during which 2 million birds were culled and slaughter numbers declined to 17 million birds per week, he said. This time around, the industry responded to the culling of birds by keeping flocks for longer to produce more chicks for replacement, and a number of companies imported fertilized hatching eggs to increase chick supplies. We need to repopulate the depleted flock as soon as possible to facilitate economic growth and the transformation envisaged by the master plan, Breitenbach said. Staying with the poultry industry and avian influenza, the Poultry Association is rallying support to have retired and private sector vets strengthen government's animal health inspections. Government officials currently not only need to deal with avian influenza, but also African swine fever and foot and mouth disease outbreaks. Improved inspection services are therefore needed to contain these diseases. Employing retired vets has already been discussed with the Agriculture Department, and in principle, officials have agreed to the idea. However, this would probably only come to fruition when the Agriculture Department's newly appointed Committee on Biosecurity starts its work. Another story that grabbed the headlines was that of fuel theft. The theft of fuel from the Transnet pipeline network is an enormous problem in South Africa. Christo van der Reede, AgriSA's executive director, recently told Farmers Weekly that there were indications that the theft was being coordinated and committed by syndicates from outside South Africa's borders and were being carried out by highly organized groups. Large fuel tankers were used, and the crime severely affected the agriculture sector. The diesel shortage during last year's harvesting season, for example, was directly linked to fuel theft from the pipelines. Michelle Phillips, Transnet Pipelines chief executive, said during the current financial year, Transnet had experienced 50 fuel theft incidents involving more than 3 million litres of fuel. To date, joint security operations had resulted in 150 arrests, while 66 tankers and 58 trucks had been impounded. In our regular feature on agriculture around the continent, we look at the agriculture sector in Ghana this week. Because the agriculture sector in Ghana is very informal, there is not much official data available. However, agriculture is viewed as a key factor in Ghana's economic growth and development process, and in 2018, the net output of the sector was $11.98 billion, or about 181 billion rand. It is estimated that agriculture contributes about 19.7% of Ghana's current GDP, accounting for over 30% of export earnings. Agriculture is also the second largest employer in the economy, but the smallest sector when compared to the services and heavy industry sectors. In 2019, 33.5% of the country's labor force worked in the agriculture sector. Ghana has a total land area of just over 238,000 square kilometers, of which 57% is classified as agricultural land, with 58,000 square kilometers, or 24.4%, under cultivation and 11,000 hectares under irrigation. The sector predominantly consists of smallholder farmers at about 80% of the total. Ghana's main agricultural commodities include cacao beans, yams, cassava, plantains, maize, groundnuts, rice, palm oil, tomatoes, peppers, oranges, onions, sorghum, and pineapples. Although the production of food crops by smallholders has increased in recent years, it is still characterized by low productivity due to a number of factors, such as poor extension services, an aging farmer population, and a lack of finance for investment in better inputs. Ghana is therefore currently a net importer of agricultural products, consisting mainly of consumer-ready commodities such as rice, wheat, sugar, and poultry. That's it for the week. Please follow us on our social media pages at Farmers Weekly SA. Until next time, be safe and happy.